Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari 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 Jasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jamana Tira Vanachadi Jamana Tira Vanachadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhari 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 Jasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braj Janaranjana Jamana Tera Vanachari Jamana Tera Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Vishnu Padpara Mahamsa Parivijaka Charaja Astatara Satasi Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Shri Shri Kishore Kishori Ki Kaur Premanandi Because I spoke during the midday or this Vyasa Puja event about ISKCON 100, that's what's on the schedule, so I already did it. So we're going forward with another topic. This other topic, it's connected to prayers of Queen Kunti, and it's some persons commented, or publicly as well as privately, this is this verse, the moving from the head to the heart, or acting from the heart, is a topic that we discussed in Gita Nagari, but I feel it's so essential. I'm taking the same topic and developing it in different ways, because it's bhakti. Bhakti is, Prabhupada's explanation, bhakti is not just a feeling, like Radhika Raman. Some of you know that nice devotee, Radhika Raman, PhD from Oxford University in Sanskrit, and one of his insights is that when most scholars, when they translate bhakti, it's devotion. But Prabhupada specifically called it devotional service. And there's a reason. And he presents the reason in the purport of the last verse of chapter 6. The root word of bhakti is bhaj. And bhaj means practical activity. So connected to the practical activity is love or feelings, devotion. But it's devotional service. So devotional service is service, it's practical activity, and it's not just the emotion that you feel when you're doing that. Sometimes people wonder, why don't I have a good emotion about, you know, something, chanting or serving or something or other. However, more important than whether it's this or that emotion track is the heart, the soul, dedicating the soul to self, the true self, to please Krishna, and then following that comes the rest. In this, that the cultivation is at the soul level. And the rest is something we also do, and it's important, what the body does, what the mind does, and what your emotions do. But it's for the pleasure of Krishna, from the soul to Krishna, reawakening that relationship with Krishna. So there's our foundational verse again, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadya Navratam, the first two lines, that's the exclusive, what bhakti isn't, and then the next two lines is what bhakti is. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktir Uttama. So we spoke earlier, do we cultivate qualities, or do they just kind of descend? You just focus on bhakti and good qualities parachute in and decorate you somehow. And it can happen that way, but when bhakti is operative, when the soul is aspiring, has this intention, this determination, I want to please Krishna, I want Krishna to smile. Of course, Krishna is always happy, but I'd like my existence to be pleasing to Krishna and my service to be pleasing to Krishna. So whether I'm cooking or thising or thatting, I want Krishna should be pleased. And that's one's using Jiva Goswami's language, the non-active element, the soul element. Because the other parts are moving and the soul is not. Anyway, Krishna should be pleased. So, in Queen Kunti's prayers, so there's the negative, that Andakodyasya and Sankalpa Pratikodyasya Varjanam, taking those two statements out of the Padma Purana verse about surrender. You accept things favorable to bhakti, and you reject things unfavorable to bhakti. Those are two symptoms of surrender. When you submit yourself to Krishna, there's two things that you do. So it's you do. You reject some things and you accept some things. So now, what about how do you keep Krishna at the center? Life is complex enough, but what to speak of when there's a relationship, then it's not just your mind and your senses and your free will, it's another person's mind, another person's senses, and another free will. Those that are married know what I'm talking about, and those that have a child or two, you know what I'm talking about. There's another set of senses, another mind, another will. And how to have a relationship where pleasing Krishna is the program. Or is it possible? Can we factually have a soul-to-soul relationship where Krishna is at the center, where there isn't all of this material attachment thing going on? Is it possible? Well, there's two verses in Queen Kunti's prayers that touch on this topic, and that's what I wanted to do. So it's connecting with our core verse, Krishna Anushilana, Anukalyena Krishna Anushilana, Bhaktir Uttama. For someone who's on this Uttama Bhakti platform, is it possible? Can we factually have soul-to-soul relationship? Not just body-to-body or mind-to-mind or emotion-to-emotion, but soul-to-soul relationship. Is it possible? Without material attachment. That was, if you remember from this morning, that was Devahuti's question. Same question. And it's covered, or touched on at least, in Queen Kunti's prayers. And we're going to discuss this evening two verses. And we're doing them in reverse order, but there's a purpose. 42 first, and then 41. And this is a sing-along. And you'll recognize the voice as soon as I do the recording. Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction, Rati, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Oh, I forgot to show, there's another nice image. There he is, Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada expresses in his purport, this is Vishwanath paraphrasing what Kunti is saying. May my mind also carry its affection to you, who are the shelter of all the devotees, just as the Ganges does not consider any obstacle on its course, my mind also should not consider any obstacles that may rise, maybe arise, while thinking of you. So, the mind is going to be engaged in thinking, feeling, and willing. Those are functions of the mind. And when thinking and feeling and willing in relation to Krishna, there will be other thoughts because there are things in relation to Krishna. What is there something that's not in relation to Krishna? Everything's in relation to Krishna. So how does he those things in such a way they don't make a hindrance in thinking of Krishna? She's praying to Krishna for that benediction. And then to cut off the tie to all other affections does not mean complete negation of finer elements like affection for someone else. That is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. Prabhupada. Only the objective. So, what's the objective? The objective is that Krishna should be pleased. Anukulyena. Instrumental case. Imperative. Necessary. Stand alone. Other things may be like adjectives that describe the primary, but that's the primary. Krishna should be pleased. So those that are parents in your role of parenting, or those that are married in your role of husband and wife, those that are friends, whoever your friends may be, those that are in an authority position, those that are under some authority, we have so many varieties of relationships. Having some affection for those persons is not to be made zero. That's not what Kunti is suggesting. But the objective that Krishna should be pleased by the other three elements, the body, the contemplations in the mind, and the feelings, our emotions. She's speaking, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen. This is an explanation. Relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, she meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. Soul to soul relationship with Krishna at the center, and affection on the platform of the soul. Of course, it helps to understand who you are and who the other person is in terms of soul. Now here's a little illustration that is kind of cute. Here's a nice Chinese man. I don't know what he's smoking, but we won't ask him. This relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. That's Prabhupada's purport. So this gentleman, he has a friend. And they look a little different, but one thing they have in common is they both have a soul within. and not only to have a soul within, but both have super souls side by side with the soul. And so the relation of soul to soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the super soul. Small thing, consciousness-wise, but it's the difference between material relation and a spiritual relation. Seeing the individual, there's a body, and there's a mind, and there's emotions. And then there's the soul, and then there's the super soul. So seeing properly, seeing your friends, I guess. Good. Keep it that way. So, a spiritual relationship requires going a little bit further than just I'm not this body, which we all agree on but we don't act on. And beyond that is the super soul, is the same super soul within my heart, within your heart, within each of our hearts. And that's a reality. That's a spiritual reality. So we can have soul-to-soul relations without the undue affection. There's a natural affection for others, but as Prabhupada wrote, the objective has to change. He gives this example. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing in the light of the sun, by the light of the sun, means to see the sun and everything else, which was unseen in the darkness. This is the way of devotional service. It's a nice example. It's pretty clear, right? Material consciousness, material relations. Remember that little visual of a lamp that is luminous and illuminates things? So the living entity is conscious and consciousness. And Krishna consciousness is to be conscious of Krishna, that Krishna is at the center of all of our relationships. Krishna is at the center of all of our relationships. And even the people we don't know, Krishna is at the center of those relationships also, the potential relationships that haven't been activated. But Krishna is at the core. And a soul-to-soul relation is recognizing that's the basis. And to see that is likened to in darkness without the sun, and then in light with the sun. With the light of the sun, you can see the sun, you can see things. In Vedic language, it's the pots and plates. You know, vastu. You can see stuff. You can see things properly. And without it, you can't see things properly. You just can't even see them at all. Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's embellishment, paraphrasing Queen Kunti's statement. May my mind hold affection, rati, for you without any obstacle. Uddhava means to flow strongly. The mind should not think of anything else. Ananya vishaya, vishaya, sense gratification. No other object for my attraction. You alone, the object of my attraction. Your devotees are non-different from you, and thus, without affection for them, affection for you cannot take place. It is not possible that this could please you. This I know. Therefore, let my mind, because the two parties, her sons and the Vrishnis, they're devotees. So she's not saying, I don't want to have any affection for those people. Therefore, let my mind have attraction for no one except you and your devotees. Now this is on the spiritual platform, a spiritual conception. I prayed, This is from the previous verse, which we're going to next. I prayed to cut affectionate bonds with the Pandavas and Yadavas, who are your devotees. But since it is a prayer in front of you, it means cutting only the material affection, which arises from bodily identification. It is not cutting the affectionate relation with you. I want to cut that affection which causes bondage. Take away the material portion and leave only the spiritual portion of affection for the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. And that's only possible if there's focused affection and attention upon Krishna. So she's got it. I mean, she's praying for it, but she already has it. But she's speaking as if she's one of us. And the dynamic is pretty easy to understand. Krishna's been in Hastinapur for some time. She, the mother, is with her sons. And the father is long gone. So she's there as the protector of their sons, and they're taking care of their mother, as grown-up sons will do. And Krishna is now leaving. The Kurukshetra battle is over, and Yudhisthira has become the king, and everything's nice again. So Krishna is about to leave and go to Dwarka. So when he goes to Dwarka, those who have been feeling separation from Krishna in Dwarka, the Vrishnis, her father's side of the family, they've been in anxiety, feeling separation. Now they're going to be very happy Krishna's come back. But over here, the Pandavas have been very happy because Krishna's with them. Now Krishna's going to leave, so they're going to be very sad. So she's torn between these emotions of happy for her father's side and unhappy for her son's side. And she's torn between those two emotions. And Krishna is the object. So she's asking Krishna, please take away the material portion of my affection, that my affection simply go to you. She's not weak in her Krishna consciousness. She's speaking as if she's one of us, similar to what Devahuti says. And when those who have been in separation from Krishna are again united with Krishna, that happiness is restored. But the unhappiness or the sorrow from separation or the intensification of feelings of love in separation is another ecstasy. From a worldly point of view, it doesn't look like it. But from a transcendental point of view, it is. So let's just, before we go on to the previous verse, which is text 41, let's again go to our Anyabhilashita Shunyam. This is practical application time of a fundamental verse for the whole of Rupa Goswami's teachings on bhakti. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Anu again means consistently, not just occasionally. Krishna means Krishna, his expansions and his devotees and those in relation with him. Krishna Anushilana. Shilana has this, it's service activity and service inactivity or non-active absorption in, on the soul platform. I just, waking or sleeping, the spirit is, bhakti spirit is, Krishna should be pleased. Krishna should be pleased. Krishna should be pleased. Let my existence be pleasing unto Krishna. Whatever and then whatever I do, let it be pleasing to Krishna. So I have relations. Whatever, you know, friends, family, society, expand the circle, close the circle, whatever. We have relations. We're human beings. We're social beings. We have relations, and it's natural. So the bhakti principle doesn't teach don't have relations or don't have feelings, just kind of go through the motions and be kind of numb about it, because it's maya if you have any feelings for those persons that you feel some affinity for. So don't have any of those feelings, because that's maya. That's not the message. Let the objective behind or driving, let Krishna be pleased. Put Krishna at the center. Let the rati go to Krishna. So now, previous verse. Probably should have done 41 first, but here we go. Another sing-along. Soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection to my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Prabhupada's purport, a pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Looking around the room, I see a few householders. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore he prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie from her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and Vrishnis. So here's that phrase again, sever my tie of affection. Jiva Goswami comments in Priti Sandarbha, Queen Kunti thinks, quote, if Lord Krishna departs from Hastinapur, that will be inauspicious for the Pandavas. And if he does not depart from Hastinapur and return to Dwarka, that will be inauspicious for the Vrishnis. Her heart, thus agitated by competing affections for these two sides of her family, Queen Kunti herein prays that the affection she bears for her kinsmen be destroyed. The truth is that when she sees how the two sides of her family dearly love Krishna, her own love for Krishna increases. Therefore, on the pretext of saying, please destroy my affection for my kinsmen, Queen Kunti is really praying, please do not leave the association of either of the two sides of my family. Which is what she really means. Jiva Goswami's really sharp, huh? It is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity toward a weak devotee, do you know any weak devotees? Breaks the family affection by force of circumstance arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him, and thus clears the path for his going back to Godhead. Prabhupada spoke like that about himself. Now, it doesn't mean rub your hands together and think, aha, I'm going to get some special mercy from Krishna. We've got some problema here in this relationship and I'm heading for the hills. Krishna's mercy, right? That's not... A nice example is Arjuna restraining or trying. Who can restrain Krishna? When Krishna, to protect his dear most friend and devotee, Arjuna, from the arrows of grandfather Bhishma, he picked up the broken chariot wheel of Arjuna and is ready to smash grandfather Bhishma. But so Arjuna is in this conflicted situation. Krishna's saving his life. At the same time, it's grandfather Bhishma, his grandfather, who in the absence of his father was his father. Grandfather Bhishma, so affectionate. We hear Prabhupada say, the grandfather is many times more affectionate even than the father. So, all of that affection showered for years together upon the Pandavas. And Arjuna, he's torn. His love for Krishna and his love for grandfather Bhishma. So he's trying his level best to stop Krishna from smashing grandfather Bhishma with the chariot wheel, which may mean, if he doesn't stop him, may mean grandfather Bhishma gets killed or he gets killed, but he's torn. But it's all part of a larger drama where grandfather Bhishma, he drops his weapons, seeing, Krishna loves his devotee even more than his own religious principles. His religious principle of upholding his word, keeping his vow. For Krishna, his devotee is more important than anything. I knew it. So he's happy to get smashed by Krishna. Now, by arrangement and Leela, right at the moment, it's the conch shell, it's just that sun is setting, battle's over for the day. So Krishna drops the wheel and Mahabharata's really nice. That very night, the Pandavas, headed by Yudhisthira, went to grandfather Bhishma's tent and said, we really shouldn't be asking you this, but can you tell us how we can destroy you? Because we understand that even Parashuram couldn't defeat you. But you're grandfather Bhishma. You must know how you can be destroyed. Can you tell us how we can destroy you? You're a grandfather. Surely you'll tell us. And he does. He gives this really long Sikandi story. So he has affection for the Pandavas. He has even greater affection. His affection for the Pandavas is based upon his affection for Krishna, yes? That's a soul-to-soul relation with Krishna at the center. And there's feelings. Natural, we don't kill feelings. It's not Krishna consciousness. But we direct those feelings to Krishna and to Krishna's. And even if it's somebody like Prahlad, you know, Hiranyakashipu, his demoniac father, he has feelings for his father. He's calling a spade, my dear demoniac father, O best of the asuras. But he has has feeling for him. He wanted Lord Nrisimhadev to relieve him of the reactions of all of his past misdeeds. And how many past misdeeds did he do? But please forgive him. Please make his slate clean. Please give him liberation. Not like, I'm glad he got what he deserved. He was a bad guy. Not like that. He was... Devotees on the platform of pure devotion have this capacity to have concern. It's in Prahlad's teachings, but he's not the only devotee that thinks of liberating all living entities who are struggling and suffering in this material world. That's the desire of the Supreme Lord. No, we don't have that capacity. There's a little nice Prabhupada story. One of my god sisters, Saradiya, told me, she once asked Prabhupada, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, should we think that this holy name can deliver all living entities? Is it okay to think like that? And Prabhupada's remark was, you can't even possibly think of all living entities, just pay attention to the mantra. But when one is very, when you're attached to Krishna, when your rati, your affection, goes to Krishna, then the other just naturally follows. Prahlad says, I don't want to go back to Godhead and leave behind these living entities that are rotting in material existence. Please liberate them. Otherwise, I'll stay here and help you liberate them. I'll be your instrument. That's elevated consciousness. But it's with Krishna, affection for others with Krishna at the center. I was very surprised. Albert Einstein, of all people, made some remark like this, because he's once making a presentation about compassion. And his statement is, it's not verbatim, but something along the lines of, the necessity to be a free thinker, as he was an out-of-the-box free thinker. Not only, genius intellect, but a free thinker. One's compassion has to increase and expand to beyond all human society, beyond human beings, to the whole universe. Compassion needs to expand like that. Now, I guess he can think of the whole universe, and Saradiya can't, because he was, the kind of person he was. But for compassion to expand like that, our teaching is, it has to be with Krishna at the center. That's Kunti's teaching, that's the Bhagavatam's teaching, that's Rupa Goswami's teaching, that's the message I want to share this evening. Where we can have relations that aren't all messy with the senses and thoughts and feelings without Krishna in the center. But needs of the body and needs of the thoughts of the mind and the emotions, those different categories where Krishna is at the center, it's a challenge to keep Krishna at the center, but that's our life as devotees. And that with Krishna at the center means somehow, at least striving, that Krishna should be pleased. Then we're cultivating bhakti. We're cultivating Krishna consciousness in the proper way. And if you cultivate in the proper way, you'll get there. One who strives by right means is assured of success. And we're not there. But we can cultivate anushilana. It's a type of cultivation. That's how Prabhupada translates it, anushilana. It's a type. Krishna consciousness is a type of cultivation. Following the path of previous great, we cultivate. There are role models, or there are acharyas, and they're the persons who we follow. We're anugas of such people. We're followers of such people. They show by example. We don't imitate, but they show by example. and we pray to them. We learn from them. We hear teachings from them. We try to cultivate and apply those teachings. That's what I'm attempting to do with this evening. From Queen Kunti, how do we apply this message of Rupa Goswami in terms of relations? And as it applies to the Pandavas and Vrishnis, it applies to all relations. Okay. I hope the message is clear. So see if there's any discussion. Yeah. Madhava Gauranga, you have a... Here's Prahlad Senior. Madhava Gauranga, you can take his place. After your question, you can be the microphone runner.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
Yeah, so your question?
So my question, it's something I'm having a hard time understanding, is, so you want to develop a soul-to-soul relationship with someone with Krishna in the center.
Yeah.
But how do you know if by your actions or by your intention or what you say or how you say it is pleasing Krishna?
Well, that's one of the... A reply to your question is, that's one of the reasons to regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books, because from reading Prabhupada's books you'll have an understanding of what's pleasing to Krishna. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream, the ripened fruit of all Vedic wisdom, and Vedic wisdom is revealing the absolute truth, it's revealing God or Krishna. So, through that descending sound vibration, we'll find out about Krishna and what's pleasing to Krishna. I mean, part of it is the do's and the do-nots, but there's so many subtleties. And from reading Srimad Bhagavatam, well, not only the head, but the heart will understand. It'll go in and you'll, I mean, it's not snap your fingers, okay, now I got it. It's not quite like that. And different Vaishnavas will have a different perspective on what's pleasing to Krishna, and that's okay too. But guidance, how do we know? Guidance, scripture, Guru Sadhu Shastra. And the king amongst Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is Shastra. Because Guru and Sadhu follow Shastra, that's the principle. And the ripened fruit of all that Shastra is Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavad Gita, but particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. So, read regularly. And discuss. And when questions arise, don't be lazy. You know, pursue the questions, pursue the answer. It doesn't have to be like, you know, obsessive, but continue with that inquiry. You want to hear something nice? No, Maharaj, I don't want to. The section of the Bhagavatam that the Chicago Temple has been reading from is about one king. What's his name? The king that becomes too much attracted to sense enjoyment? Yayati. And how did Yayati go from an attached fellow to beyond attachment? It's got to be association with the devotee, right? You can't. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that the emperor during the time the Yati was king was who? Maharaj Ambarish. He got Maharaj Ambarish's association, and through Maharaj Ambarish's association, he moved from being attached to attached to Krishna. It doesn't detail that in the Yati section, but it's described in one commentary. So it just, it's a detail. But in someone who is inquisitive, all the pieces start to fit together. And then it can tell you something about how to, are my activities pleasing to Krishna? Like, for example, am I in a position where I'm receiving guidance and direction from a qualified Vaishnava other than my mind and books that I read? That's a topic we're going to discuss tomorrow morning. But that's one of the standards to look at, are my activities pleasing to Krishna? And if that gets weakened, then it's less pleasing than if it's strong. And you feel it also in different ways. Guru Sadhu Shastra. Someone else? A couple questions. He took your service away, Madhavendra. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It works.
My question is also related to the similar point of having soul-to-soul relationships. One of the presentations or one of the ways is to see the super soul in each and every living entity. And my question is, Maharaj, does this require constant cultivation, or does it come by one of the points you mentioned is when we develop affection towards Krishna, natural affection to other living entities is also done.
Yeah.
It
starts with, it's the bhakti principle. And as the, it's not mechanical, it's devotional. And as attachment to the object, Krishna, is cultivated by your devotional practices and your direct services, then in other activities that attachment will continue, sustain, because Krishna is everywhere. So the springboard is our hearing and chanting. That's the Bhagavad Dharma process. And then it carries over. From hearing, reading, and applying, Krishna is everywhere. The horse that pulls the cart is bhakti. And the hearing and chanting is nourishing the bhakti. And then as one becomes, from hearing and chanting, then remembering means some affinity for, some attachment for Krishna. And even when fill in the blank is going on, there's attachment for Krishna because he's eternal and you're eternal and you have a relationship with him. So whether it's in the workplace or you're driving to work or you're in the marketplace shopping or you're cooking or this thing or that thing, you're attending a gathering with other devotees, whatever it is, whatever is outside, the attachment for Krishna, as it awakens, then the remembrance continues. The hearing and chanting is the springboard. That's the place where we cultivate bhakti, primarily, and then apply it, and continue to apply it, and cultivate applying it, and it becomes your life. It permeates everything, like this nice example of the sun. It lights up everything, and then you can see everything, as well as see the sun. Nice example. Paramarupa, over here. No, right here.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Oftentimes, when
trying to please Krishna, there are conflicts of inspiration between devotees.
No.
So there could be conflicts of perspective, but there could be also conflicts of inspiration.
I'm thinking about a certain person, there may be some conflict in inspiration in your life, or two or three. Go ahead.
So, long time ago I have also heard that bhakti is a science of being defeated.
Bhakti is what?
It's a science of being defeated.
Being defeated? Where did you read that?
I recall probably more than 12 years ago, hearing from Radhanath Maharaj in probably one of the lectures where...
You'd have to give the whole context for that one.
Okay. So I'm trying to put the two together.
Is it like, you know, being humble?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Being defeated means your false ego gets smashed. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So when there is a conflict of inspiration, let's say I'm facing with another devotee, would I just bring this point that Krishna would be pleased if I subordinate inspiration to another devotee's inspiration?
Somebody that knows how to control children can please do the needful. It's not always one thing. Give and take. Sometimes and sometimes. Give and take. And you know, that's how devotees, how you and should function with devotees. And it's not like, you know, you're keeping score and too many times, so now you should get some on my scorecard over here. But it's principle. Give and take.
Krishna Maharaj, about the soul, not a soul relationship, keeping super soul in the center. So my recent experience is like I can able to feel that someone the first sight, like someone is very attracted to me and someone is not at all attracted to me. I noticed that in two small kids, like they are 5 years old, three years of age, both of them are naughty, but like one child, I feel like that naughty is so wonderful, and they are not related to me, both of them are not related to me, but like I'm just seeing them, and another child is doing the same naughty job, but I feel some hatred. So how to be compassionate, like when you have this, you know, what is this feeling that triggers? I want to know what is that feeling, and you know, how to be compassionate, you know, in that aspect of it.
This is too complicated. You hurt her feelings. Well, Bhaktisiddhanta's principal advice is look within. Before adjusting things outside, look within. And I would one obvious path, there's so many things one could do, but one obvious path is empathy. You know, do unto others, the golden rule, you know that one? Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know that one?
Yes.
Okay. So supposing you're a 3-year old and here's this big guy. And he's giving me these vibes. What would you want that big guy to do instead of giving you the vibes? And then do that. If there was a role reversal, what would help you being one who's naughty and getting these, you know, bad vibes from this big guy, you know, adult. So when you have a power position because of age or whatever, you're not the, you know, they're not your own children, but you're big and they're small. So what's my duty? So you can't just like make your emotions Zippo, but you can modify them by a mode of goodness, by cultivating the mode of goodness where, how would I feel if I was in that small child situation? What's the best way that I can be of service to this child? Think in terms of service. And some people are better at it than others. Learn from those that are good at it. All those things. Service mode, mode of goodness, go into reflective space, think, what would I want if I was in this situation? A little boy, someone's giving me this bad vibration. What would help me? Because, yeah. Now, go ahead, Chaitanya, go ahead.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So, my question is somewhat related to what Prabhu asked. So, we always should practice having Krishna at the center in any kind of relationships. So, when it comes to kith and kin, who do not have the same conception of having Krishna at the center, how do we deal with that kind of relationships? Where we are trying to place Krishna at the center, but the other side it is...
You're responsible for your consciousness, not theirs. So you just, you know, in a way that you think would be appropriate, given the circumstance without, you know, analyzing all the details, because it can be very variegated. It could change even from hour to hour, but... given the circumstance, what will be pleasing to Krishna? Now, in some cases, pleasing to Krishna might mean, I'm thinking of a circumstance or two, where it's not pleasing to the kith and kin, but it is pleasing to Krishna, and so I stay with the path of pleasing to Krishna. Now, there may be other circumstances where I yield, and make some compromises because it'll be pleasing to Krishna. But stay with the consciousness of, you know, sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sar. So all other dharmas are subordinate to that one. And I can't, you know, Krishna can't be eclipsed. That's a line I'm not going to cross. I may not, you know, be ostentatious about my relationship with Krishna. That may be disturbing to kith and kin. But I'm not going to chuck it. I'm not going to discard it. I may have to not wear it outside, but carry it inside. Be more internal in my Krishna consciousness and cultivation of Krishna consciousness. But there's some certain lines they're just not going to cross. Regular principles, for example, eating and so forth.
And thank you.
Tolerate. You know, they may have to tolerate you, but that's their problem.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, I have one thought on the same point, soul to soul connection with the medium of super soul.
Oh boy, I'm glad you guys got it. I mean, I worked really hard to get the message across.
I am thinking of Vidura after being insulted in the court by Duryodhana. He left for 34 years for going on pilgrimage.
Yeah.
his wife was purely Krishna conscious and yeah. he didn't even talk or meet or anything and he just lived.
Chalo, yeah.
Yeah, so is there some explanation given on that, even though they have Krishna in the center in their relationship and he just left right from the court?
That's right. I'm sure he knew his wife. I mean, Vibhishan did the same thing. He didn't say Hari Bol, I'm heading to go for Lord Ramchandra. He just took off. But you know, I don't know what he knew that they knew, or he knew that his wife knew. Maybe they had a conversation before. If this happens, this is what I'm going to do. I don't know. they have a heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul relation with Krishna at the center. Somehow. Maybe you send her a text message. Maybe he sent a Brahmin messenger to, you know, carrying a message to her. I don't know.
It looks more like an individual soul relationship with Krishna. The reason I'm saying is because...
Be careful. Be careful judging elevated souls. Be careful. Whatever your because is, be careful. We don't know. We don't, you know, there's lots of things we don't know. So don't presume. Be careful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see some hands on the ladies' side. I see a bunch of hands. Yes.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. I was trying to build this question and you were answering so many devotees on the same topic, soul to soul. I have a similar question on that. Prahlad Maharaj prayed to Lord Narsingdev to liberate his father, make yeah. his slate clean.
Yeah.
He is a pure devotee. I'm here at this low level with mixed bhakti in me. I'm also praying similarly.
And
for
also
other,
what? Also what?
Praying similarly for other souls.
Praying for other souls.
Yes. I heard your answer to the Prabhu's question, like it depends on their dealing with Krishna, the kith and kin that you just mentioned. My question is, how will Krishna reciprocate with me? Like
with you?
Yeah.
Not Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu, but you.
Because I am praying for the souls, keeping Krishna in the center, for giving those souls pure devotional service. That's from my side, and that's my prayer.
Well, he's not your order supplier.
That's definitely true.
Yeah, that's definitely a fact. So, and he does in his own way, in his own time, and one of the operative words in Prahlad's prayers is proportionate to one's submission and service. Now, Prahlad's prayers may be a little bit more powerful than yours and mine. Because his purity, unflinching, undeviating devotion. More powerful. Purity is the force. And Krishna is moved. Lord Vishnu appeared as Lord Narsingadev to protect Prahlad. He didn't do that too many times. But because of the purity. So, who is praying makes some difference. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray because we're not pure yet. But it's... If one gets the favor of an elevated Vaishnava, that's very special. One becomes dear to any Vaishnava, that's very special. You want to hear a nice story? Sure. I'll make it fast. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it could take a half an hour to explain this, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a pastime where Lord Chaitanya severely chastised when Brahmana, during the Gundicha cleansing, who played a trick while everyone was cleaning and cleaning and water and cleaning, he took a bucket and poured water over Lord Chaitanya's feet and caught it in another bucket and was trying to drink the water from his feet. Lord Chaitanya exploded, called Srup Damodar, "This Bengali Vaishnava of yours, look what he's done. He's destroyed my religious principles. Surely some hell I'll have to go to because of this." So Srup Damodar sent him out, took him by the neck and took him to the outside Gundicha temple and told him to leave. Yet later, consciously he allowed Kalidas to three times take water from his feet. It's because Kalidas took a vow that he would take the remnants of prasad from every Vaishnav in all of Bengal, and Bengal was bigger then. And how many Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya, were there during Lord Chaitanya's time? A lot of them. And one by one, and one by one, and one by one, regardless of their position, because he had such faith in the Maha Prasad of a Vaishnav. For that reason, Lord Chaitanya broke his own principle and gave Kalidas the opportunity to three times, seen by Lord Chaitanya, watching him do it and saying, "Kalidas, that's enough." He was reaching for the fourth handful. And then later, some days later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his whole plate of prasad to his servant Govinda, said, "Give this to Kalidas, his remnants." Because he was deserving, because of his purity and his faith and his Krishna consciousness. So if you get the idea. So continue praying for the soul and the welfare of others. And recognize that when Prahlad prays, it may be more powerful than yours and mine. But that doesn't limit the personality of Godhead by any means. Because every devotee is dear to him. We must not think, "Oh, I'm nobody." Anyone who engages, Prabhupada said this, heard this in a class. If someone comes to Krishna's temple and they do even the smallest service, and his voice went up and said, even if they turn one screw, I don't know why he thought of that example, Krishna will never forget. Krishna feels indebted to that devotee. However small it is, but there's also gradations. Is that okay? Yeah, we're ready.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
My question is related with the striving to restore our relationship with Krishna and his devotees. One of the obstacles we have to overcome is mental speculation.
No.
And because it's subtle, it's hard to recognize and guard against. So I want to know what are some of the ways the mental speculation could be operating in my life, in my stage. How do I identify and guard against it?
Well, your question is not the same but quite similar to Madhava Gauranga's. How do we know that what we're doing is pleasing to Krishna? Or you're more specific as what are the ways that mental speculation can be operating in relationships with others that's not pleasing to Krishna. Mental speculation is more subtle than the grosser manifestation of sense gratification. So it's a little more elusive because it's a little more subtle. Largely, I would say it has to do with the conception of the person in terms of the temporary. And relating to them in terms of the, simply in terms of the temporary. No, a Krishna conscious person will relate to somebody according to their situation, appropriate for their situation, although it's temporary. But if a mental speculation category or big brushstroke is thinking of the person simply in terms of their temporary situation, whatever that might be. Another big one is reading into the meaning of someone's words and not seeking clarification, their intended message. Big problem. We've all had the experience when we say something and the intention in our communication when saying something somehow doesn't get transmitted to the other person, and they take some other meaning than what we were intending to convey, and they start dealing with that as reality. And they may like it or not like it or something or other. So that's not exactly mental speculation, but it's misreading. So it's good practice to reiterate, say back to the person, not in a, this empathic listening, it drives me nuts. So what I hear you say is, but not in the mechanical fashion, but seeking clarity that you've understood the other person's meaning and intention, and they may even want to, edit what they said. No, we actually come to think of it, that is what I said, but that's not what I meant. So, that's just, communication in relationships. And then, taking something and it gets distorted. That's a mental speculation. Those are two areas. Good enough? And Sweta, and then we're done.
My question was also kind of related. So if I understood correctly, in order to have a soul-to-soul relationship, you have to be centered in, or you have to be established in your relationship with the super soul.
Well, right? With Krishna.
With Krishna. Yeah. So I guess my question was, what does it look like exactly for someone like myself to be established in my relationship like that?
Well, you have Kishore Kishori. They're your Ishtadev. You say this regularly, and you take things to them. And not like they talk back to you and say, you got it right or you got it wrong, but it's a relationship. And you take your heart to them. So that's an example of how it might look like in your life. And then there are persons that are not Krishna, but in relation to Krishna, because that's Krishna Anushila includes the devotees of Krishna. And they're persons who you have purposely and mercifully, from their side, established relationships with, who you can say anything to, and they'll guide you and help you. And so that's what it looks like, because they're representatives of Krishna. They're not Krishna, but they're representatives of Krishna. They're the same category. That's what it looked like. Very simple. From a devotional perspective, it's simple. And then, part of like just like your, the offering that you expressed, part of the way to make to, if that slackens for some reason, because it can slacken, then one gets covered again, and it doesn't take very long. It's practically instantaneous. That's what Prabhupada, I heard one lecture of Prabhupada said. It's, you turn your attention away from the sun, and what do you see? You see shadow. It's, and there's these two things. It's not, it doesn't take any time at all. He said, I have to remember this very clearly. He said, it's not like, oh, okay, I'm going to take a little vacation from Krishna and I think I'll, you know, do some Maya for a while. No, immediately Maya is there, even before you call. She's there. You turn away from Krishna, immediately Maya is there. Immediately, by default. Trying, you know, giving you lots to do, lots of Maya things to do, immediately. So what it looks like is those relationships where devotees of Krishna who are connected to Krishna and connecting you to Krishna and Krishna. The name, the deity, the Bhagavatam, those are forms of Krishna. Merciful forms of Krishna. Read regularly. You're connecting with Krishna. And Krishna is connecting with you. And there, Srila Prabhupada ki. So don't disappear yet. Nityananda Prabhu has something, and he has something. That just.